Hello, and welcome to the Peace Learner Podcast. My name is Darren Cambridge. The Peace Learner Podcast is dedicated to cultivating peace and nonviolence in the field of education. And in today's podcast, we go to a peace pedagogy course, which met during the fall 2012 semester at American University. And in the class, there were 14 students, and each of the students were asked to develop what was called a Peace Learner Commitment. And this was a pledge that they made to themselves and then shared with our learning community to achieve a goal that seeks to build and foster peaceable learning environments. And this is an environment that could be built in the classroom, in their community, among their peers, with their family, in their workplace, or just for themselves. And so we'll hear from all 14 students and myself, who are part of the class, our Peace Learner Commitments. First, I just want to thank everybody for sending me their Peace Learner Commitment. As I said, I got a little sneak preview, and the reason that I'm mentioning that is because my Peace Learner Commitment is actually to keep our community connected and together by holding you to your Peace Learner Commitment. And so one reason that I wanted you all to develop a SMART plan around your goals was because I was particularly interested in having this measurable and time-bound aspect built into it, because that gives me a clear structure to reach out to you at certain times throughout the year to check in to see how you're doing and ask if you need any support. So it's specific in the sense that, you know, I have struggled in the past with classes where I feel like we have developed a really strong community, but then once the class is over, people go in their separate ways, and then I hardly ever talk to the students ever again. It's happened one too many times, and I've been trying to find ways to fix that. And so that was one of the motivations behind the Peace Learner Commitment. And so my goal is, again, to sustain our community by keeping us connected through our Peace Learner Commitments. And I think it's measurable in the sense that I'll be able to track and get responses from all of you in terms of whether or not you've been able to meet certain benchmarks. I think it's achievable because I have an email address. You all have email addresses. And I think what I'm going to do is put in my calendar, after reading your Peace Learner Commitments, specific dates saying, oh, on this date, I'm going to reach out with Sarah because she said in her Peace Learner Commitment that she wants to have accomplished X, Y, and Z by this date. Or on this date, I'm going to reach out to Emily because in her SMART plan, she says that she wants to have accomplished this by this date. So I'll set reminders on my phone letting me know this is when I should reach out to you. And I also think from the podcast that hopefully you all will potentially find ways to reach out to everyone in the class or some people in the class that you want to stay connected with and check in with them to see how they're doing on their commitment. So that's my Peace Learner Commitment.
Okay. Hi, my name is Richard, for remembering. My Peace Learner Commitment came from reading again Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's letter from the Birmingham jail. And my commitment is to make this an integral part of a course that I teach with Darren here at American University called Education for Development. The reason and the specificity of this commitment is because the letter includes a number of very clear values and philosophic arguments which, while they were applied to the U.S. domestic African-American civil rights struggle, I do believe have broader and international implications as regards this whole idea of development. The specific challenge, therefore, is to add, restructure, maybe just slightly, selected readings and video viewings as a part of the course and teaching purposelessly to the idea of nonviolence and the positive and creative tensions emanating from this philosophy for international development. Now, how am I going to measure this? The way I plan to measure this commitment is being met is by the use of a particular technique and approach which we currently employ in that class. Students are given specific readings and videos to review each week. They are then asked to reflect on these readings and viewings, make comments, and raise questions online. and then for all of us to meet in the class and to discuss these questions. By utilizing these processes, I will be able to measure concretely the impact that these values and their linkages with all of the topics we discuss in the class take place. For example, we discuss international development approaches to education and training, education for economic growth, health, civil society, and education for environmental sustainability. Is this achievable? I think with Darren and myself as the adjunct professors leading that course, I think it's easily achievable and being able to bring this idea to the class. Is it realistic? Yes, it's realistic. And it's time-bound because we're going to introduce this. I want to introduce this starting next semester for an ongoing class, and the class has a very specific time to do it. Let me just read one quote that I think is very interesting. In the letter from Birmingham Jail, Martin Luther King said, "I think I should give the reason for my being in Birmingham. Since you, the people who he's writing to, thinks I've been influenced by the arguments of outsiders coming in." In development, it's a lot about outsiders coming in. Thank you.
I'm going to explain why I'm undertaking my Peace Learner commitment first. The reason is because I began working at the Brady Center to Prevent Gun Violence at the beginning of this semester, and they're the main preventative advocacy group for gun violence in America. They're a nationwide organization that focuses mainly on policy, legislation, and broadly the narrative change in the U.S. in an effort to reduce illegal guns mainly. They're not necessarily anti-Second Amendment. So anyways, mainly I do administrative work for them at the moment, but I've been asked to take on a more meaty role. And this class, as well as my job, has made me realize how little this issue penetrates the minds of young people who are fortunate enough to grow up in relatively safe communities where guns aren't a big deal in our lives. Me and my friends have no desire to own a gun, don't necessarily care much about our Second Amendment rights. And so I want to know how I can engage people my own age to start to care deeply about this issue, which takes a huge toll on American life. I just want to share these quick facts, and that is that young people in the U.S. who live in America's most rural counties are just as likely to die of a gunshot from a gun as young people in urban counties in the U.S., which is pretty incredible. So I'm going to do this by using my skills with social media, and this commitment to begin to change the narrative among young people is measurable and achievable, I think, because we already know what's useful. The Brady Center already knows what works on Facebook, what people share, what people like, how they're talking about. We've begun to see this narrative change during and after the recent elections. Americans are starting to realize that the NRA, which is always talked about as like this super powerful, influential gun lobby, actually very rarely achieves their goal for as much noise as they make. And so it is possible to begin to change this narrative of being accepting of violence. And so that is what I would like to do. So in my role at the Brady Center, I'm going to begin boiling down this vast body of research that's out there about the toll that gun violence takes and how unnecessary and preventable it can be into basically sound bites that people in our generation can absorb and begin to talk about and begin to share with their friends. And as superficial as that might be, as soon as we begin to realize the very real possibility that gun violence will someday affect one of us, the sooner we can start to make a more safe, peaceable environment for us all.
This is Beth for breakfast. So I had a lot of ideas about sort of more professional development, things that I wanted to do as my goal, but I decided that those were things I was probably going to do anyway, and would have other people outside sort of keeping me on track, and myself. So I decided to go a very personal route, and I sort of took some things from our class on yoga and meditation and thought about my ailing health over the past month and a half, where I've been mostly on and off sick, including today. So I decided that I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I've also struggled with high blood pressure for many years, which is strange. So I decided to go to do some of my ideas that I have had for a long time with lowering my blood pressure and my stress and really concentrating on my health. So I have a goal where I've bought a planner, and I'm going to not only record my blood pressure and things like that, but also recording what I'm eating, how I'm feeling, both physically and emotionally, and sort of look in and keep Darren on his toes by having a monthly check-in with myself on looking back as to how I've been feeling throughout the month, and maybe see some patterns and things that I'm doing or not doing, and how that has affected my blood pressure and my stress level and the way that I feel both physically and emotionally. So that is my goal.
This is Kelly, and I like kiwis. My learning goal is to research and start to create a framework for understanding how language integration can affect social contact in post-conflict multilingual communities. And this came about as part of my research on youth in conflict, understanding that there is a lot of integrated education programs, a lot of bilingual education programs, but there are a few specific cases of integrated bilingual education programs that are directed at peace building in post-conflict communities. There's even fewer examples of literature scholarship trying to frame how language integration impacts the peace-building effort and the social contact not only between students but within the larger community. And so I am going to use my master's thesis as an opportunity to explore this concept or these concepts. I think it's measurable and realistic because I will either be able to create or understand this framework or not. Hopefully it will be the first. And I will have a master's thesis chair and secondary reader to help check in with me, to give me input on my process. I will be able to go to Macedonia in February to research with two schools that use this process between Macedonian and Albanian students, funded partially by SIS. And then I will hopefully turn in my thesis, and hopefully it will pass, on April 1st. So it's my time frame is between now, today, and April 1st, 2013.
My name is Maria, and I like movies. For my Peace Learner commitment, I decided to build on my responsibilities as an alternative break co-leader. I'm leading a trip in March for 7 days with 13 American University students, and we're traveling to Cuba looking at the issue of access to higher education, both in the Cuban society and the United States. And as one of the responsibilities I have as a leader is to facilitate 8 different educational sessions related to our social justice issue and our region that we'll be visiting. So for my commitment and my goals for this Peace Learner Agreement are to lead both engaging sessions for my participants, but also ones with sessions that I have built and planned intentionally, focusing on kind of some of the peace learner some of the peace pillars that we've studied in this class of community building, engaging multiple intelligences, and peace towards social change. And I really, as a participant, I'm doing this as my agreement because. Our commitment, because as a participant, I had to attend these sessions, and I didn't think that they were very beneficial in the long term of things, and so I really want to create kind of an environment for my participants that's both educational but also interesting and something that everyone can learn from and build community.
This is Kaite for Kangaroos. At the beginning, or I think overall, this entire class, something that I've really taken away is storytelling and the ability to identify your own emotions and then also being able to share like experiences and those emotions. And I think that each week we've come in, I think that most of us can say that we've grown quite a bit. And I think that's something that's really unique and special. And so from going from that, I was like, I want to replicate this because that level of authenticity does not necessarily need to be for a peace class, and that can be something that's replicated anywhere. So the goal is, and it's a very long-term goal, is to, I guess for the rest of my life, we'll see. I like actually have this huge vision of doing it for the rest of my life, is twice a year hosting like a night where I have like 5 to 8 people come over and we do like some type of emotional expression together. Maybe a midnight monologue, maybe spoken word poetry, but like just we all have girl nights or something around that, but this would be focused on emotional expression and just being open and being honest and kind of just sharing with each other and doing talking circles. And so hopefully, as I said, 5 to 8 people, a couple hours on a Friday or a Saturday, and this is a small group and planning that once or twice a year in the summer and in the winter, continuously doing that. I guess what I hope to bring out of in terms of being measurable is I think that emotion sometimes is very hard to measure, but I think that I have seen the impact of what it means to be emotionally open. So I struggled with that, but I also know that I guess what that grand outcome is just connection and people being willing to take a step back from their life, realize that their identity, their emotions are important and worthy of being told, and that self-care is important in creating that atmosphere. So that's what I hope to do.
So my name is Daniel, and I like ducks. So I recently found out that I have the privilege to be a teacher next year, actually for the next 2 years. I will be in a classroom of somewhere between 4th and 8th grade, which is kind of terrifying and very, very exciting. And my peace learner objective or commitment is to, I've been very impressed in this class how we've been comfortable sharing with one another and the idea that we all buy into this process of what we're taking part in right here and right now. Nobody in this classroom is sitting there not wanting to, you know, take part in, you know, what we're trying to accomplish. And I think that how we got to that point is through the activities that we've done through day one. I think that we've engaged in a lot of interactive, sort of like hands-on, emotionally challenging activities throughout this class. And we sort of built a database of those activities. And so my goal is to incorporate about 20 or so of those activities from day one in my classroom. Between now and when I start school, between now actually and May 1st, I want to have 30 to 45 activities that I can sort of pull from, a database that based on the day or the mood of the class I can pull from and be able to sort of get people back on track or engage, ready to learn. And so that starts out with, you know, building that database and contacting people that are going to be my peers as far as fellow teachers, you know, contacting various people in the same grade, people in this classroom, you know, reaching out to between 7 and 10 teachers to get their ideas, you know, things that have worked well in their classroom and things that haven't worked well, because it's important to understand what they've tried and, you know, haven't worked. And the idea is that from day one in the classroom, and, you know, it could just be a 2 or 3 minute check-in, you know, getting people prepared and ready to share. Culminating with every Friday, setting aside some time for personal reflection, giving kids about 15 to 20 minutes to write down some of their thoughts. And the way that I want to measure this objective is to track how my students are doing from their first journal to, you know, a month later, 2 months later, 3 months later. And hopefully, as the sort of process becomes embedded in the culture of my classroom, that people feel more safe and comfortable sharing the thoughts they have, the things they've learned from one another, and really are engaging in the classroom process. So I'm excited to see what works well and what doesn't. I think that I want to build a bigger database because I think things won't work, and that sort of comes, you know, in the moment. So I'm excited to start building this database.
Hi, I'm Emily, and I like elephant shoes. And my peace learning goal is to implement recycling at my workplace, which is in Jellicoe's of Tenleytown. It's been something I've struggled with personally is the fact that we don't recycle, and this class has encouraged me to take tasks like this into my own personal responsibility. And I think that recycling is going to start with me there. I know my management is not very encouraging of recycling, so I'm going to start by researching how recycling works in D.C. I don't understand how it works, so that'll be my first step, and then to convince my management to start a recycling program and taking on a lot of the difficult things onto my own. Like, I know that I'll have to probably make sure that the recycling is taken out, that I teach people in the kitchen how what can be recycled, what can't be recycled. So that's my first goal. My second goal is to get rid of our paper sleeves that our silverware comes in. It's a huge waste, and I know that there's many other methods to distribute silverware, so I'm going to look for a more eco-friendly method of doing that. Hopefully by my birthday, January 20th, we'll have some kind of recycling program in place at Angelico.
My name is Leah, and I like lemurs. So I'm committed to a lifestyle reflective of nonviolence by educating others on the hidden histories of nonviolence and sharing with my students the famous voices of nonviolence. So my first step towards this commitment will be facilitating a program using the resources from this course in my class at Wilson High School. So my goal is to present one lesson this semester and at least two lessons in the spring semester. I have this commitment because during this course, I was particularly impacted by the module on nonviolence because it altered my perspective in a way that I now recognize nonviolence as a force and a power and have the notion that it is a weapon of the strong. So I want to share the resources with my students at Wilson High School, including the clips from A Force More Powerful and the excerpts from essays written by the Voices in Nonviolence during one of my human rights classes so that my students have an opportunity to understand nonviolence in the same way that I did during this course. So I teach one class per week, and I have an established curriculum to teach. So as part of my goal, I will contact my supervisor and request that I be able to alter the curriculum to include a lesson on nonviolence this semester. And I intend to continue my internship in the spring semester, so I've set a goal to research additional resources during that time and create two new lessons of my own to present during the spring semester.
My name is Ansley, and I like alligators. First of all, just out of respect for another person, I'm going to be somewhat vague in talking about my peace commitment, and I apologize for that. But in one of the modules, I expressed my desire to develop my personal sphere. I said that I don't see how any of the other spheres are really accessible without first developing peace within the self. And I came back to that because I don't think I've really done a good job of following through with that, and I think I have personal issues that need to be resolved. So my peace commitment is to help heal my damaged relationship with a close member of my family. For several years, my relationship with this person has deteriorated due to this person's addiction to alcohol, and we are now hardly ever speaking to one another. He has been sober for a few months, but I have found that this only makes communication more difficult because there is nothing in the present for my feelings of anger and frustration to blame. I desperately want to take positive steps towards rebuilding our relationship, but my built-up resentment and his damaged ego are preventing either of us from making the first move. I need to work to rebuild our relationship, not only for the sake of my family, but to help me find peace within myself. Since starting this class, I've been haunted by the question of how am I supposed to be an educator of peace if I can't even make peace within my own family. So my peace learner commitment then is to develop a communication plan with this person that involves monthly phone calls with the goal of getting back in touch and rebuilding our relationship. And I plan to stick with this monthly phone call plan for an entire year and hope that after 12 months, communication becomes free to move beyond that.
I'm Sarah, and I like swimming. One of the things that I've talked about and thought about a lot this year so far is my lack of balance in my life and how I feel like that's just continuing to slip away from me. And one of the modules of this class that really spoke to me at the onset of the class was the idea of community building. I've always thought that community and relationships is the essence of life. And so one of the things that, So I'll just read this part that I wrote from an earlier module. I want to learn how to build the community I am blessed to be a part of, both personally and professionally. I believe through sincere and honest connections, we add value to life that allows it to transcend from the mundane routine we all fall prey to each day. I want to know who I am and why I do it, and to feel invested in other people. And upon reflecting on that, I realized how sadly untrue that is of me currently. So I decided that for my commitment, I'm going to write a letter a week to somebody from my community, whether that's a close friend, a family member, or one of you guys, lucky people. Then I'll be doing that. And the intention is, one, to reach out to other people and to bring them closer to me, but also part of the intention is to be forced to sit with myself as well, because I feel like that's such a huge part of writing a letter, or writing in general, is sitting with yourself. And that's one of the community members that I'm not in touch with at the moment. And I'm taking a cue from Kelly's book, but I wanted to share a quote, which is, "With writing, you have to confront yourself, stare down truths you would rather avoid altogether. When you're freestyling in conversation, you can acrobatically dance around all those issues that demand deep reflection. And that's an excerpt from a letter to my brother in prison, my brother Ever in prison, from Michael Dyson. So my commitment is simple. I'm simply, on a Sunday in the afternoon, whenever it strikes me, I'm going to sit at my desk and I'm going to write a letter to whomever I feel most inspired to speak to, and then I'll send it off. So at the end of a year, hopefully I've written 52 letters. I need stamps.
All right. I am Adam. I like American football a lot. And I am committed to integrating yoga and meditation at least once a week into the advisory class that I teach. I have about 10 captive students every week. And for this particular class, it's about 45 minutes, like I said, twice a week. And a lot of the students are going through a lot of things that I've never had to deal with. And I can't relate to them in terms of exactly what it's like to go home and not have food, or what it's like to walk to school and be scared. But I can relate to them and how we deal with stresses. So I want to focus on one thing that we can control, and that is breathing and our bodies. And so I've actually started integrating this already. I've had them sort of count how many times they breathe every 30 seconds. And it's amazing. They actually breathe like complete in and out like 10 to 15 times every 30 seconds, which is just unreal to me. So I want to get them to the point where they can stop and they can just focus on that for a little bit of time. And over the course of the rest of the school year, which goes to June, slowly build into something that's a little bit more reflective in terms of just focusing on the emotions that they're going through, how to deal with them, and how to just control what they can and focus on that. I have to do a little bit of research to figure out what activities we can do. I really enjoyed a lot of things from the modules that we looked at, including the breathing and some smaller things like the eye exercises. So I want to start off from there, and then by the time the second quarter or second semester starts in January, I want to have kind of like Daniel, a little bit more of a repertoire, something that I can go to that has a lot of resources ready to go, so that I can, so that I can integrate this, like I said, once a week.
This is Marg. I like mangoes. My commitment is based on a couple different things. It's my fifth year teaching, and I feel like every single year the same thing has happened, that I've learned these wonderful activities, and not just in this class, but different experiences that I've had. And I've thought, yes, I'll definitely do that, and then the thought kind of stops there. And I think once I get beyond the first couple weeks of the school year, I'm very much driven by just getting through the math part. And so my goal is to actually start to intentionally incorporate a lot of these activities that I've learned about into my classroom, but do so in a way that connects it to the math. I have a lot of students who, for many different reasons, come in just ready to fight and definitely not ready to learn. And so every single year I end up with most of my students showing some growth, and then a few that I've just completely lost and I haven't found a way to really reach them. And so this is kind of my thought for how next year I'm going to try to tackle this problem in a new way, I guess. And so I want to work with my department and also my team, so we're either doing these kind of cross-curricularly or we're doing these for the entire math department. I'm not going to actually start. This is going to be more of a long-term goal since I'll be on maternity leave, but this will be for next year. And so I want to have some baseline data for my students. So in August when school starts, I'll track their discipline referrals and phone calls home and whatnot. And then in October of next year, I want to start intentionally putting these into the curriculum and then measure on a monthly basis if it's having any sort of impact in their number of discipline referrals, their phone calls home, and then just how they generally are when they come into the classroom.
Okay, this is Katie. I like koalas. And my peace learner commitment is actually going to be to my workplace, and I'm going to have our office create a group agreement. It was something that I really liked what we did in this class, and when I went back and was reading through all of our questions and through all of the activities that we did, I thought that the process of creating a group agreement was one of the beginning ways that we started to build a lot of trust in this class, and something that's lacking in my office right now. Not that it's bad by any means compared to other people's workplaces that I've heard of, but there is kind of a lack of trust between certain people, and there's annoyance between people, and there's people passing off responsibilities and others taking on almost too many responsibilities, and so I want to sort of level the playing field. We also kind of have a very negative attitude towards work as an office, and we are a customer service oriented office, and I think that's a really big problem. So the way that I'm going to do this goal is actually multiple steps, and it's not only just creating a group agreement, but I'm going to have everyone do a worksheet that walks them through where they can identify all of the responsibilities that they have in the office, either assigned by their manager or self-assigned, because not everyone knows what everyone else is doing, which is already one of our first problems. And also, I want everyone to take, I've developed a survey using appreciative inquiry about to sort of see what's working in the office and to determine what isn't working in the office, and so we can build on the stuff that's working and hopefully incorporate some of that stuff into the group agreements. And then I'm going to have the group agreement in this big poster on the wall, and then at the end of the next, at the end of the spring semester, we're going to develop the group agreement in December, and then at the end of the spring semester, I'm going to have everyone take the survey again and see what's changed and then what's working and what's not working, so we have a way to measure it. The way that I know this is going to get done is because I'm actually putting it into my personal management thing that we all have to do as full-time employees here, which actually requires us to write SMART goals, so it would fit very well. and that has to be done by July 31st. And it's something that's been really bothering me about our office for a long time because I feel really marginalized in the office. I don't feel like people like me. I don't feel like people trust me. And it's because I enjoy doing work, and I have a really big problem with that. So I'm going to try to address that with this. And that's all.
I just will conclude by bringing up a kind of critical thinking process. And Marie and I were talking about this earlier in class. It's this idea of futures thinking. I don't know if anyone's familiar with futures thinking, but it has everyone look at a particular issue and asks you, what's the probable future as it relates to this issue? What's the possible or possible futures as it relates to this issue? And then what's the preferable future as it relates to this issue? And just hearing what you all have shared and your peace learner commitments, it's really inspiring. I'm really glad we did this. This is the first time that we've done this in this class. But it's a beautiful thing to hear what you will be doing once this class is over. And it gets me excited because I think that oftentimes we accept the probable future. And in fact, I think that's what we're actually educated about, is like, this is the way things are, so 10 years from now, this is probably the way things are going to look. And there's not a lot of thought put into, well, there are other possibilities, some that are more dismal, some that are more hopeful. But then at the end, let's actually talk about what we as a group, you know, see as a preferable future, and then what can we actually do to make that future reality. And I am totally 100% committed to supporting all of you in your commitments. And keeping you on track, supporting you, keeping your spirits up if things get tough, reminding you of things. And I really think that your SMART goals and the time element is gonna help me do that. So I'm excited for all of you once you leave this class, and I really do hope and pray that we remain connected as a group, as a community, whether it be in person or virtually or with a handwritten letter, which is a lost art, so God bless you, Sarah, for doing that. I think it's really important. I think that will ensure that the preferable futures that we've all shared here will actually become a reality. So thank you all for that. This is our last Wednesday session, and then we'll celebrate and have a good time on Saturday. With that, we end the podcast.